Just leave that open there, please. We'll be looking at that very shortly. This morning, as we begin, I want to ask you to do something for me. What I want you to do is everybody to grab their news and notes. I've left mine. Sorry about that. Everybody grab your news and notes and open it to the middle there where it's got the space for the sermon notes, and also to grab a pencil. And what I want to ask you to do is to write in that space, write down three prayer points. Three prayer points. And just a couple about those. I just want to let you know this is not for anybody else. You're not going to be asked to share these, or they're just between you and God. So if you want to do something, if you want to write in code, God will understand and the person peering over your shoulder won't. That's fine. But just three prayer points. And when I say three prayer points, I just mean three things, any three things you would like to say to God or ask of him this morning. This is not a test. There's no right or wrong answers other than the answers you want to give. Now, the other thing is, if you don't have a pencil, if you can't find a pencil, just put up your hand and either someone near you will pass you a spare, or I've got spares. So has everybody got a pencil? Fantastic. That's fantastic. So three prayer points. I'll just give you a minute for that. Everybody done that? Hope you're not being obstreperous. Oh, no, I wouldn't be obstreperous. That's resisting control in a noisy manner. You'd be resisting control in a silent manner. I don't know what that word is. I hope you've done that. Time's up. Just put that down for a moment and we'll come back to that shortly. Thank you. Who struggles to pray? Put up your hand if you struggle to pray. I struggle to pray. My hand is up. Who struggles to pray? Man, I'm taking note of those who don't have their hands up. I'm going to be talking to you guys because I struggle to pray. If you struggle to pray like me, please have a look at the words of Jesus there in verse 9. See what he says? Pray then like this. Jesus here is teaching us to pray. If you struggle to pray like I do, then you'd have to suspect that right here, right now, we are in exactly the right spot because Jesus is giving us instructions on how to pray. If you want help for a struggling prayer life, where else would you want to go than to Jesus? As God, he knows exactly what kind of prayers God will answer. As God, he is able to diagnose exactly what is wrong with our praying. As the Son of God, he understands the privileges we now enjoy as children of God. He knows how to approach the Father and please him. As a man, he is sympathetic to our weaknesses and to the realities of our situation. As a man, he knows what it is like to be weighed down and crushed with responsibility. He knows what it's like to be paralyzed with fear. He knows what it's like to be dog-tired and pushed for time. He also knows the temptation to be lazy and self-indulgent. As a man, he can sympathize with all of these feelings because he felt them. He felt these things. He felt them, all of them. But you know what? Still he prayed. He knows how to pray. Jesus was a great prayer. He prayed privately. He prayed publicly. He prayed short prayers. He prayed long extended prayers. Mark describes how during a time of crisis when his work was just overwhelming him, he got up very early in the morning while it was still dark, not to make a head start on his emails, but to pray. After feeding the 5,000, he went up on a mountainside to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he fell to the ground and prayed. While on the cross, he prayed. There are at least three instances recorded of him praying on the cross. Even under that extreme duress, he was a prayer. Jesus was clearly a man of considerable prayer. And Jesus, knowing our struggles, gave us this prayer to help our praying. Here in Matthew, it is presented to us as a kind of a template. Pray like this. Here is a model, a template. That's not saying that we can't pray it verbatim as we do often, but he is certainly not endorsing some kind of mindless mechanical repetition, as if these words are some kind of magical incantation of some kind. Jesus gave us this prayer to help our praying, and I'm very personally excited about the Lord's Prayer. I'm excited about what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks as we kind of look at this prayer in more detail. Being a sinful person and a person with kind of like a short attention span, I've always just found that the discipline of prayer a hard thing. I still do. But I do find the Lord's Prayer exhilarating. It's become kind of a lifeline from God for me, constantly dragging my rebellious heart back to him. As I look at this prayer, as I reflect on it, as I research the background to each of these lines, I find marvellous things. I find terrifying things that actually propel me towards God in prayer. Jesus gave us this prayer to help our praying. I think it would be incredibly foolish and arrogant to ignore his advice, to ignore what he says here, to not pore over his every word. Why forego such great advice from the Master himself? Just have a look at it overall. Just have a look and notice. Try and notice the prayer as a whole. The prayer that Jesus has given us is profoundly concise and has a very clear structure. Firstly, in the first line, he teaches us about who we are praying to. Who we are praying to is such an important thing as we come to pray, and we'll be looking at that more closely. But then there are six simple requests. The prayer just contains six simple requests. You can break them into two groups. The first three concern the things of God. Firstly, his name, his kingdom, and his will, right? First three things are about God. And the second part concerns the things of men, our daily food, our sins, and our temptations. This morning, we're just going to deal with the very first line. Just the first line, who it is we pray to. And then we're going to do the rest. I really don't know how we're going to do the rest. I was initially planning that we'd have 3 weeks on the Lord's Prayer starting last week. But last week we took a week out to do the doubting and believing talk, which I hope was really helpful. So now we've got 2 weeks to do the whole of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm only doing the first line today. I don't know how we're going to do the rest. But that's my problem, not your problem. I'll work that out during the week. Today, I hope this will be a really helpful and really encouraging thing, though, just to look at this first line. Let's have a look at this and see, have a closer look at what Jesus teaches us. Let's look at who we pray to. Who we pray to is thoroughly, thoroughly important. How you pray, what you pray, how often you pray totally depends on who you're praying to. Who does Jesus say and teach us to pray to? Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Each Tuesday, I take a Year 6 scripture class up at the primary school up here at Abbotsford. And each week, I get one of the Year 6 kids to actually stand and lead the rest of the class in prayer. You can imagine, for all sorts of reasons, they might struggle with that a little bit. So what I do to help them and encourage them is just kind of remind them two things about prayer. Firstly, I say, just remember, it's just talking. You do know how to talk, don't you? And yes, they know how to talk. You can't get them to shut up is the problem. So just remember it's talking. And the second thing I say to them, just remember who it is you're talking to. See, the way you talk to someone is totally shaped by who it is you are talking to. I say to the Year 6 kids, the way you speak to your friends in the playground is not the way you speak to Mr. Widders, is it? Mr. Widders, if you don't know, is the stern but nice principal of the school. And they realise, yeah, the way I speak to him is not the way I speak to just anybody else. And it's the same for us. The way we might speak to our kids is not the way you'd speak to your boss or the Queen of England, if you ever had the chance to meet. Anybody had the chance to meet the Queen of England? Surprising just what you find out about people sometimes. Nobody's spoken to the Queen. Who you are speaking to totally affects the way you speak. And it's the same with prayer. Who is the God we're speaking to? What is he? What is she? What is it like? You look at people of different religions and you see them pray in different ways, and it all comes down to the picture of God they're praying to. So Muslims repeat ritual prayers 5 times a day because the God they pray to is a distant judge who they just hope will have mercy on them. Our Buddhists don't really pray to God at all, do they? They meditate silently upon their own inner being because what they're seeking is this inner peace with the universe, and they're seeking good karma to experience rebirth into nirvana. I remember growing up as a Roman Catholic, and I was taught to say 10 Hail Marys and 1 Our Father and to keep repeating that all the way around my rosary. As I think back on that, I'm not quite sure what that was supposed to have taught me. I remember it as being a kind of fairly mindless and mechanical activity. I think the thought was that I had to play some part in appeasing God and that this required some sort of level of personal sacrifice. And that was what prayer was. It was this sacrifice to God. Wasn't something I really wanted to do, but I'd do it because somehow that made God happy. My sacrifice to appease God. And that really, I just think, what a total travesty to teach a kid that. Yeah. Because, of course, the good news is that Jesus has offered the one complete and perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. He's appeased God for us. Knowing the God you are praying to is everything. And Jesus begins, "Our Father in heaven." So notice this. Firstly, he teaches us to say, "Our Father," right? I guess our familiarity with this prayer really blinds us to the incredible, mind-blowing nature of these first few words. Our Father. You have to realise that the original word that Jesus uses is the Aramaic word Abba, right? Aramaic is the language of the home, of the Jewish family. And so that word Abba that Jesus uses is a term that is one of incredible respectful intimacy. It's more respectful than maybe daddy, right? But it's much more intimate than just father, right? It's maybe more like our word for dad that we have today. So you get what Jesus is saying. Jesus tells us to begin our prayers to the transcendent creator of the universe, the omnipotent ruler and terrifying judge of the cosmos, as dad. What is Jesus thinking here? Isn't this just shocking impudence? Among all the thousands of names invented by God, for God, by man, nothing remotely compares to this apparently blasphemous irreverence of calling the supreme being our Father. But that is what Jesus wants us to understand. He wants us to understand the extraordinary relationship we have as Christians with the God to whom we pray. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. The relationship between him and God the Father is one of wonderful, beautiful, and intimacy and love. Jesus comes into the world and he wants to show us that. He wants to teach us about the relationship the Father has for the Son, right? And he's doing that all the time. He teaches us, you know, the Father loves the Son and delights to give all things to the Son. The Father just doesn't hold back. He teaches us that the Son loves the Father and delights to do the Father's will. The picture I think we should get is of the most wonderful and intimate and blessed relationship you can ever imagine. Here is one of giving and joy and sharing and looking to bring glory to the other. This is a true and fulfilling and wonderful family life. And as Jesus lives with us, he lets us look in on that intimacy, that wonderful intimacy. He reveals that to us. Although actually, Jesus goes even further than just kind of revealing it to us. As Jesus walks around on earth, he invites us into it. He invites us to share in that. He says to come, share in it. Jesus says, he wants you to come. I want you to share this with me. I want you to know the Father as I know the Father. I want you to share my sonship. I want to share my sonship with you. We need to understand that when you give your life to Jesus and you set your life on following him, then Jesus does this amazing thing. He takes your life and he shares everything he has with you. Everything that is his righteousness, his rule and power and authority, his place at the Father's side, the Father's pleasure and love, all becomes ours too. So you hear what I'm saying? When you get forgiven by Jesus, it's not like just Jesus wipes the slate clean and you go back to the way things were before, you know, maybe like back in the garden or something. No, Jesus is taking us onwards and upwards. He takes us on to greater things. The slate is wiped clean and we are brought into something new. We get adopted into God's family. We get filled with the Spirit of the Son and we get to share in that family life of God. We get to call the omnipotent creator of the cosmos our Father. If you were to meet Julia Gillard today, you'd need to address her as Prime Minister. If you were to get to meet President Obama today, Barack Obama today, you'd greet him as Mr. President. If you were to get to meet the Queen today, you'd greet her as Your Majesty. But when you pray today, you get to pray to the Almighty God of the universe and you get to say, Our Father. That is an amazing thing. I know some of us who hear the word Father, and that can be a difficult word for some of us. The reality is every earthly father, no matter who they are, because of their sin, fails in some way to be what a father is meant to be. And for some of us, this can be a really very painful experience. Can I ask you to see, please see the Father that Jesus is showing us here this morning? Our Heavenly Father is perfect in his fatherhood. His love is perfect. His anger is controlled and thoroughly righteous. His discipline is perfect and kind and fruitful. Many Christians who have lost fathers, whether to an untimely death or to divorce or to war or to the bottle or to some other sin, have found in their Heavenly Father a strength and a refuge. And here is the Son's invitation to you to do the same this morning if you've not already done so. Knowing the God you are praying to is everything. And firstly, Jesus teaches us to know God as Father. Where's that gone? There we go. But secondly, as he teaches us who we are praying to, he also teaches us to say in heaven, Our Father in heaven. Jesus tells us to pray. Why is that doing that? I don't know. Jesus tells us to pray in heaven to remind us not that he's somehow distant, right? When he says in heaven, it's not that he's distant. We know from Acts 17 that he's close to everyone. When we pray in heaven, it's not kind of to say that he's somehow restricted, that he's there and he can't escape that sort of space. No, no. Psalm 139 says he's everywhere. God is everywhere. No, no. What Jesus teaches us here when he says in heaven is to remind us that, yes, while we have this amazing privilege, while we have this amazing intimacy, what we are still to remember, though, that he dwells high above us. That is, he is immeasurably greater than we are. So you know all those big God words, omniscient, which means all-knowing, omnipotent, which means all-powerful, and omnipresent, which means God is everywhere. All those big God words. What Jesus is saying is, when he says in heaven, he's to remind us that all of these words are still true. While we have this great intimacy, we still must remember that he is far greater than we are. And so whilst intimacy is appropriate, so is great humility and reverence. We don't just go up to God and say, "G'day, mate, how you going?" Great humility and great patience. So one of the things this might mean for your prayer is sometimes you might consider adopting a posture in prayer that expresses this deep reverence. So, for example, you might want to confess your sins on your knees or even on your face sometimes. How you pray, what you pray, is totally dependent on just who it is you are praying to. And in heaven will mean great humility and great reverence in our prayers alongside great intimacy. But also, surely, it means great confidence too. Some kids boast that their fathers have fast cars or live in big houses or have important jobs. You know, that kind of my dad's better than your dad thing. But you look at this, you think, our Father is the unchanging, supreme Lord of all. We don't need to kind of play that game. We can feel quietly secure in the knowledge that our Father in heaven owns all the cars and all the houses and everything's besides. This means that our Father is the perfect dad for sorting out all our tricky situations. He's the perfect dad who is able to give us good things. Knowing this of our Father, I just think, what is there that you wouldn't therefore bring to him in prayer? Why wouldn't we then just submit all the things to God in prayer, knowing that he is in his omniscient wisdom will answer our prayers with absolute perfection? In heaven means we can pray with great confidence. Jesus teaches us who we pray to. Our Father in heaven. I think the key to growing in our prayer lives is not better technique, but better theology. Not lessons in how to pray, but knowing better in whom we are praying to. It's not about meeting the prayer warriors of history, but rather meeting our Father in heaven. I think we need to explore his magnificent character and amazing plans, because I think as we glimpse the Father described in Jesus' prayer, I'm pretty confident that we will find ourselves lifted in wonder to delight in him. I'm pretty confident that our cold hearts will become warmed and our stifled tongues will be released in prayer. I once heard my 13-year-old son giving his 8-year-old brother some shrewd financial advice. The younger one was desperate to buy a new electronic toy with the latest game on it. This was clearly a matter of life and death. So what happened when the younger one realised he didn't have enough money to buy it, he collapsed in total despair. Life could not go on. But older brother to the rescue. He delivered the line that just about sums up his financial strategy in life. Just ask your dad. The Lord's Prayer begins wondrously in the same vein. Our eldest brother, the Lord Jesus, who has known the Father for eternity, is telling us from his own personal experience how to face life's challenges. Just ask Dad. Or to put it in his original words, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. I think it's always wise before we pray to spend a moment deliberately recalling who he is, just who it is we're praying to. Only then shall we come to our loving Heavenly Father with appropriate humility, devotion, and confidence. It's now time to come back to your prayer points. Can you grab them again? Can you open them up and have a look at them? to finish, I want to invite you to pray. Jesus calls you to know the Father as he knows the Father, to know that as you commit yourself to him, he has taken your life, he has washed away your sins, he's washed away your guilt, and he's made you a part of his family. You can approach God as our Father in heaven. Therefore, I want to say, draw near to the throne of grace. Draw near to your heavenly Father who loves you. Draw near to the one who delights to hear your voice and who is in all wisdom and all love, promises to give you good things that will grow you and complete in you what he's begun. Pray. Take a minute to pray your prayers.